So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get...
right, cut the music. No, this is not Ed Springsteen, but this is the Ed Springsteen Show. You're listening to Dale the Truth, sitting in tonight on this Wednesday night special of the Ed Springsteen Show on the My View Matters radio network. We are awaiting a guest of ours. Hopefully our guest will show up tonight, and I don't know if we should start talking about our guest. If he doesn't show up, I don't want to embarrass him, so we'll get started with some other stuff first. It is Wednesday, February the 12th, 2014, and if you want to call in, as always, the call-in shows on the Ed Springsteen Show, 858-683-1326. What an exciting day it has been, folks. We started out with a sinkhole opening up in Kentucky, and out comes gay marriage. So that's the kind of day it's been. I was very, very disappointed to see all those Corvettes falling down in a sinkhole out of Western Kentucky. Maybe I should have put out Sinkhole by my favorite band, the Drive-By Truckers. Maybe I should have played that as an opening tonight, but oh well, too late for that. But anyway, then here came the gay marriage announcement, and everybody gets all excited about gay marriage, either the neocons against it or the progressives for it, and I really don't see what either side's getting that hyped up about, because the fact is, why should the government even be in marriage at all? Should we even have a government involved in marriage? Shouldn't that be a ceremony that's left to either private organizations or churches? Maybe we need to have a separation of marriage and state. Maybe that's the bottom line, that government shouldn't be allowed to be involved in marriages. Why do you want to get a marriage certificate? Because there's nothing in any holy book out there, whether it be the Bible or the Quran or the, you pick a holy book. None of them talk about getting a government involved in your holy matrimony. And that's the bottom line. Should the government be legislating relationships at all? And that's the topic we want to get started with tonight, because everybody gets all worked up about this topic. I'm not really sure why the gays want to get involved in the state and why they want the state involved in their relationships. I really haven't figured that one out yet. If there is such a sanctity of marriage, wouldn't the government be interfering by getting involved? That's the major argument I have. I mean, you have these people who are all stuck up on separation of church and state. And if you go back to the Baptists, were it not for the Baptists in Rhode Island, we would probably have no establishment clause. And you have the Southern Baptist Convention, which supports socially conservative policy, but you have this anti-theocracy vibe that still lives on. So again, nobody talks about the fact that the government should not even be in the business of legislating relationships. Contracts, yes, but relationships, no. And I believe we'll go to the phones early tonight. I believe our good friend Paul is on the line. Paul, are you with us?
Yes, stand by, Dale.
Uh-oh, the black helicopter might have gotten Paul.
Yeah, I'm working on a phone issue.
Okay. I think the black helicopters are confused because they had to scramble their jets today. They're used to flying over on Thursdays. We'll check back with Paul in a moment there. But the black helicopters had to scramble early when they saw that we were hosting the show tonight, and I'm sure that Ed Springsteen will be back next week here in the host chair. But he's had some health issues he's trying to work with, and we said we would sit in on the show for him. So like I said, back to the opening comments. All of a sudden, a sinkhole opens up in Kentucky today. That's a reference to the Bowling Green Corvette plant. That's a beautiful place. If you guys haven't been out there, I used to have to go out there in a previous employment situation. I used to go out there on contract on a regular basis. And here comes this opening up of a sinkhole, and shalom, shalom, what do you know? Now we have this gay marriage issue. And I guess the twofold issues I would discuss is, number one, the federal government should definitely never be in marriage. And number two, should any government at all be involved in marriage? And let's look at the facts. Kentucky overwhelmingly voted against gay marriage in Kentucky. It was on a ballot. It was on a constitutional amendment to be voted upon, and overwhelmingly people voted against it. So on one hand, the federal government should never be involved, and number two, the state government shouldn't be involved. But you had a federal judge, I believe it was Hayburn today, putting down this ruling. And yeah, even the guys over at Page One Kentucky say it's a huge victory for all Kentuckians because any law that violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment is an affront to the liberty and dignity of everyone. I don't know if I agree with that because, like I said, why the hell do you want the government in your marriage? Let's see if Paul has escaped his government anal probe yet. Paul, are you with us? Paul's doing Morse code in the background, folks. Paul, did you get away from the helicopters? We lost him again, folks. We'll check back with Paul again in a moment. This could be exciting radio. We have a guest that hasn't shown up, and we are sitting in the chair for Ed Springsteen. It is not Thursday night. Don't get excited. It's only Wednesday night. Yeah, we'll be back with the TNT radio show. Hopefully our guests, both of them, will show up tomorrow night. I have faith that they will, and still kind of hoping that our guest shows up tonight. So we'll keep our eye out and see if he does show up tonight. But again, the two major issues, should the government be involved in marriage, number one, and number two, when a state government put a constitutional amendment on the ballot and Kentucky overwhelmingly voted against gay marriage, who the hell is the federal judge to come along and say the state is wrong? Because this is what we get a lot with the judicial activism, where the government wants to get involved, not just legislatively, not just executively, but they want to get involved judicially. The guys and gals in the black moo-moos want to lay the smack down on you. They want to tell you what you can and can't do. And again, we call that judicial activism. Look it out, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find out judicial activism, what it's all about. Because they don't base their decisions on existing law. They base it on their personal or political considerations. Of course, you have neocons like George Will, and George Will is big in the neocon Republican circle, and George Will put out a piece. Let me find when this piece from George Will was. Oh, this is only a couple weeks ago. This is perfectly appropriate on the timing. George Will says, judicial activism isn't a bad thing. Isn't that ironic? George Will doesn't think that judicial activism is that big of a deal. He says that many judges in practicing what conservatives have celebrated as judicial restraint have subordinated liberty to majority rule, and that today a perverse conservative populism panders to two dubious notions. One, that majorities should enjoy a largely untrammeled right to make rules for everyone, and two, that most things legislators do reflect the will of the majority. Well, we've been over this. You're going to get a lot better chance at seeing your will demonstrated in your government if you people still buy that rouge, that farce, that charade, that parody that says that you are the government and the government belongs to you, which is just BS. If you still buy into that, won't you have a better chance at getting your beliefs put through the system at the state level, even the local level, better yet, than you would at the federal level? But again, you have neocons all over the place who think that it's okay to do these things. And now we're hearing from our guest. He's also having phone issues. So apparently, the black helicopters scrambled in time because they're affecting our phones tonight on a Wednesday night edition of Truth, if you will. This is the Ed Springsteen Show, and we invite your calls here tonight. Until we get to our guest, we are talking about government marriage, which it shouldn't be such a thing, and judicial activism, because those are the two problems I have with the judge's ruling. I don't really give a damn what gays do. They can do whatever the hell they want as long as they don't push it on me, and I know they don't like to hear that, but that's the way I feel. I don't care what they do. Let them go knock themselves out. Have a good time. As long as I don't have to see it, I don't care. But again, you have a judge going against the ruling of the state in regards to our constitutional amendment that we passed on the ballot. And again, we have the case of why the hell do you want the government involved in marriage? I mean, if you're going to respect everyone's liberty, and you're going to have a government that supposedly recognizes, protects, and promotes marriage as an ideal institution, what about adults being free to make choices about their relationship without redefining what the word marriage means? What about government getting out of the business of affirming people's love and minding their own damn business, and leaving consenting adults, to be free and live in love as they choose. That's what I would ask. I mean, contrary to what many say, there is no ban on same-sex marriage. Nothing about it is illegal. And in all 50 states, two people of the same sex may choose to live together. They can be involved in a religious community that blesses their relationship. They can go to work somewhere that offers joint benefits. There's nothing illegal about that. But what is at issue is whether the government will recognize their relationships as quote-unquote marriages and then force every citizen, every house of worship, and every business to do the same. At issue is whether policy will coerce and compel others to recognize and affirm same-sex relationships as marriages. And this is the problem. I believe all Americans should have the freedom to live as they choose, but not to redefine those choices for everybody else. Appeals to marriage equality are good sloganeering, but they exhibit sloppy reasoning. I mean, every law that has ever been made to man makes distinctions. Equality before the law protects citizens from arbitrary distinctions, from laws that treat them differently for no good reason. To know whether a law makes the right distinctions, whether the lines it draws are justified, one has to know the public purpose of the law. And they also have to know the nature of the good being advanced or protected. So you got plenty of people in the chat room. And again, if you want to call in, the number is always 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. If you're already on hold and you're listening on the phone, just press the 1 button and we'll let you in. So again, back to quote-unquote gay marriage. If the law recognizes same-sex couples as spouses, but some argue that it fails to respect the equality in multiple partner relationships, are those inclined to such relationships being treated unjustly because their romantic bonds go unrecognized, that they might be stigmatized and have their tax filings unprivileged? This is not hypothetical. 5 years ago, Newsweek magazine, yes, back when it was a magazine and a few people still read it, Newsweek magazine reported there were over 500,000 households in America that were polyamorous. Over 500,000 polyamorous households in America. And there are prominent scholars and people in the gay activism movement that have called for quote-unquote marriage equality for multiple partner relationships for at least 8 years. So I'm not one of these neocons who gets caught up on, oh, you're offending me, because, again, I don't give a damn what you do in your own private home. Screw it. Screw him, screw her, screw each other. It's none of my business. But, again, the laws that prevented such things, remember what we first got when we first went into the marriage licensing in the first place. Marriage licensing came about because a lot of people were worried about the interracial marriages, yet such appeals beg the question of what is essential to the marriage. They assume exactly what is in dispute, that gender is as irrelevant as race in state recognition of marriage. However, race has nothing to do with marriage, and racist laws kept the races apart. So again, this is where I say we reap the civil society benefits of marriage only if policy gets marriage right. And I don't think that the state has an interest in promoting marriage of any kind. I think they need to get out of that business because it should be a private matter. So again, you are listening to the Ed Springsteen Show here on the My View Matters Radio Network. I am not Ed Springsteen. I am Dale the Truth sitting in for Ed Springsteen, and we'll be back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets. I don't like it.
Young men fighting, look at your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before.
Well, all I see is a stage, my mind.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You're listening to Dale the Truth, sitting in for Ed Springsteen on the Ed Springsteen Show here on a Wednesday night. Like I said, I'm sure Ed will be back here next week, and I apologize for the early musical interlude there, but we just got a message from our special guest tonight that he was having phone problems. So we've already seen the phone problems hit our good friend Paul Holliger from Stop It. We figured that he was in the middle of some kind of anal probe by the government authorities at this time, and our special guest says he also was having phone problems tonight, but that's okay. We carry on, ladies and gentlemen. There's no going back here on the Ed Springsteen Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. And before we went into the musical break, we were talking about marriages and licenses and why the hell do you need the government in your marriage anyway? Because today we have this big ruling and all the people in the quote-unquote progressive left, if you want to use that left-right paradigm, in which I don't believe, they are excited. They're all orgasmic, dare I say, about their decision supposedly overturning the voice of the people in Kentucky about gay marriage. And like I said, number one, why would a federal judge and a black moo-moo have such power over what the people in Kentucky already said they did not want? And number two, why would the gays want this? And I talked about how you don't need a certificate for marriage or a license. And our good friend Paul did get this out to me before the federal Nazis got him in the black helicopters tonight. He sent me a piece about why do you need a license to get married. And this comes over here from the Monmouth Musings, a member of the vast common sense conspiracy, if you will. Their headline said fair and biased, and I guess that's better than the crap when Fox News says fair and balanced. But basically, this story talks about the fact that for 16 centuries, the Catholic Church deemed a couple to be married if they said they were. I think that's a great rule. I think that's the way it should be. If a couple says they're married, hey, guess what? They're married. Why is it anybody's damn business if they put a bunch of money into a ceremony or not? And then you move forward, not until 1215, the year 1215, yes, 800 years ago, did the church, and when they say the church, they do mean the Catholic Church, decide that a marriage ceremony had to take place in order for a union to be licit rather than illicit. Yet couples married illicitly have the same rights and obligations as those who went to the chapel. So you went from the Catholic Church for decades and eons and centuries saying, if you say you're married, to all of a sudden in the 1200s, the church said, oh, you need a marriage ceremony. And then came the 16th century, dun, 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 where European laws were put in to, quote, unquote, protect parental control of marriages. Isn't that interesting? The American colonies required that marriages be registered. But in the 19th century, state supreme courts ruled that public cohabitation was evidence of a valid marriage. That recently. Remember, according to the neocon powers that be and the churches out there, my God, nobody ever cohabited back then. Well, yeah, they did. Just didn't make an example out of them because people kept their nose in their own damn business. But in the late 19th century, the United States began to nullify common law marriages and control who could get married. Now, if you're all about liberty, that should piss you off. If you're just a neocon hack or a progressive big government socialist, then you probably don't care. It probably doesn't bother you. It should bother you. Because once again, marriage and the laws governing it, that should bother you. Governing marriage, why do you want the government in that marriage? But the laws governing it continue to evolve, I would say devolve, during the 20th century. Because guess what? Surprise, surprise, interracial marriages were prohibited for whites, but then they were allowed again. So what the government does with marriage is always changing. There's this even flow, just like with other government laws, where it's constantly changing. And again, I'm not trying to tell you that the government didn't get involved at all until the 16th century, but it is true that you had religion for a long time as a co-equal branch or an arm of the government. And this is still true around the world in most religions. Some states still recognize common law marriage. The state recognition still subjects you to the benefits and detriments of recognition of marriage. The key point is that they only recognize common law marriage between heterosexuals. So whether you are getting a license or not, that's not the relevant issue. It's still government recognition. Why have government recognition? I mean, again, they claim because the government wanted stable families. Society was becoming more complex, and then community norms or religious structures were required to encourage people to get married and stay married. They passed laws that made it difficult to just walk away from your family, and they passed other laws regarding distribution of benefits, inheritance, and health care that incentivized marriage. Now, the only good news here is that more recently, government has backtracked on a lot of this, making government recognition of marriage somewhat irrelevant. It can be argued that it no longer accomplishes recognition of marriage somewhat irrelevant. It can be argued it no longer accomplishes its goals. However, being a firm believer in marriage and family, the writer of this article said they would rather see us bring back the above-mentioned carrots and sticks than do away with government recognition of marriage. Well, I disagree with that totally. We're going to try, I guess, a third time's a charm, see if Paul Hologrove Stop It has gotten away from the government helicopters. Paul, are you in a safe place?
I am. I am in a safe place.
I was worried about you, Paul. I don't want to know what kind of probes they did at the family show on Wednesday night. So what say you tonight?
Well, this whole marriage concept, we briefly discussed this on Ed's show before, and I think I'm totally in line with where you are on this because both you and I agree that the government's role in a personal relationship just is totally inappropriate. And I want to give you a couple of examples of what the motivation behind the government's role is.
Mm-hmm.
The government in instituting this license requirement, hold on a minute, I thought I had to sneeze, sorry, makes it relatively easy to get a license these days. A long time ago, you had to go through a blood test and all that jazz. But today, it doesn't really take a whole lot to get a license. It really doesn't.
They just want the money and the control. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's relatively inexpensive, it's relatively quick, and it's relatively easy. So they make it fairly easy to get into a marriage. But let's talk about what happens when marriages don't work out or fall apart and trying to get out of them. My God in heaven. Getting out of a marriage is a Herculean effort. Herculean. Here in Jefferson County, Kentucky, which has kind of been used statewide more or less as a standard of excellence for the divorce process, one has to go to, I think it's that district court, circuit court. You have to go to circuit court, a higher court, in order to institute divorce proceedings. One of the things that's required is a complete financial disclosure, complete financial disclosure of all both parties, and this financial disclosure then becomes part of the public record, which means anyone on God's green earth can come in and see what your finances are, what your declarations are. So, again, you know, what purpose does that serve? Well, the stated purpose was that supposedly it's going to be judicial oversight of a fair and equitable distribution of marital assets. Well, that's bullshit. That's just bullshit. Because if they were concerned about fair and equitable disposition of marital assets or marital assets in general, they wouldn't have all these other onerous laws that just makes it difficult for people to survive in a marriage. In fact, I would dare say, I'd go one step further, I'd say a lot of divorces today that are financial related are a direct result of one or more government laws or regulations that impose all kinds of hardships and undue burdens on the individual involved. But I don't want to go there because this isn't about that. But the fact is that to get out of a marriage, you not only have to tell, put on paper your entire financial condition, and then the world gets to know. And then you got to have a judge that says yes or no. And then you got to wait a while until the judge gets off their asses and and decides to sign your document. Okay.
Well, the docket's all backed up.
And not only that.
The docket's all backed up with all the court cases. And I would just jump in here. I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Paul. But, look at the court cases. The courts are so backed up. You just look at all the courts we have in Jefferson County and how far behind, so much for a fast and speedy trial and all, because the docket are so backed up, maybe because we have too many damn criminal laws. And that's why you have all these courts, because there's too many laws on the books. And not only do they incentivize one way, they, just like with agriculture and schools and everything else, they play both sides of this game. And what I mean by that is look at all the people who don't get married because they'll lose their food stamps or they'll lose their welfare or whatever.
Well, and that's a direct result of this this loss of the stigma that goes with illegitimacy. But going back to divorce for just a moment, do you need an attorney to get married to counsel you and advise you? No. To draw up documents? No. I mean, there's some people that go to it, but they usually have substantial assets, and they call it a prenup. But yet our system almost forces you to hire an attorney, and these attorneys, one for each side, and these attorneys are going to bleed the couple dry to the extent that they can. So it kind of, you know, it begs the question, Dale, is that how big a role did attorneys have a long time ago in setting up this whole process of requiring a marriage license? Seems to me that the vested interest in this whole process lies with the lawyer profession.
Oh, it's perfect.
The lawyers
with it. Yeah,
probably
like the,
put it all together.
Yeah, just like the patent attorneys, whenever you hear these stories about patent your invention, patent your ideals, and you look behind it and you have all these lawyers and all these companies backed up and insurance provider. I mean, I honestly think, obviously, government, people choose to go into government, but in the private sector, lawyers and insurance agents are the worst. Those are the two worst occupations out there, in my opinion, Paul.
Who was it that said, kill the lawyers?
William
was
Shakespeare.
Was that out of a Shakespeare play or something?
It was Billy.
Yeah,
Billy.
Oh, Willie knew way back then
the
hazard and the problems that lawyers cause.
Well, talking about the hazards and troubles that lawyers cause, Paul, that is about as good a segue as I can get into the slimy thing that happened today in Congress. Did you notice that old Mitch the Bitch McConnell provided the key vote today as Congress once again approved a debt increase? Have you been following this story, Paul?
I saw the headlines on TV just a little while ago on C-SPAN.
Yeah. They did it again. They raised
the
debt.
Yeah, they showed the vote.
Yeah, they raised the debt levels again.
They showed.
Senators backed the debt
increase. They showed the vote.
Yeah.
What was it, 55 to 42 or 58 to 42 or something like that?
No, I wish it was that close. 67 to 31.
67 to 31. I also saw right below that another interesting thing, and that is they voted 95 to 2 or 93 to 3 to reduce the pensions of certain military people, to reduce the pension. And this was the second time the Senate has voted to reduce military pensions. Now, that particular tagline is a little bit out of context because I don't know the details of that. Because in Washington, what they call is an increase or a reduction isn't the same definition that you and I have to use in our household budgets. To them,
a decrease in growth.
A decrease in Washington is simply a reduction in the increase in spending, but it's still an increase in spending when it comes right down to it.
Well, the debt
so I don't know what the context
the
of that
house,
is.
No, the debt increase was a lot closer in the House, which we expected. They're somewhat more constitutional. And I keep telling folks, I have what I call the Dale scale, and there are only five U.S. senators, and maybe this is a good time as any to go over who is on the Dale scale. There are only five U.S. senators and nine congressmen for whom I have any respect right now. And just like the stock market, the Dale scale can turn one way or the other. But when I look at the U.S. Senate, and you tell me if I'm way off base here, Paul, but I only see five senators And some people know these guys and some may not know some of them. There's only five senators that I trust as far as I can throw them. And those are Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, Jeff Flake of Arizona, Mike Lee of Utah, and James Risch of Idaho. And, you know, that's subject to change, but those are the only five of the 100 that I trust as far as I can throw them, Paul.
And how many of them have been recent targets in the mainstream media in an effort to undermine their effectiveness and to discredit them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rand Paul, Ted
Three
Cruz, and
sure.
Lee are in the subject of the spotlight,
yep.
So they always go after them. Flake and Rice are a little more quiet. And like I said, the same thing on the House side. I don't know if I should name them all. There's only 9 U.S. House members out of 435 that I respect at all. And some of you all know these names. And one of them is our good friend Thomas Massey. I wish I lived about 5 miles east of here, Paul, so I would be in Thomas Massey's district. But Thomas Massey, Justin Amash of Michigan, Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma, Tim Holtzkamp of Kansas, Paul Brown of Georgia, Tom McClintock of California, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Matt Salmon of Arizona, and Steve Stockman of Texas. Those are only nine, the only nine members of the House that I think are worth a damn.
And so here, I'm gonna raise a question, and I think I know how you're going to answer, but I'm going to give it to you.
All right.
These nine, if you will, I had it heard a suggestion
435, go ahead.
There has been in place and ongoing a type of popular uprising against this government intrusion and oppression. So
right.
Dale, if that has any grain of truth behind it, why is it that these senators and representatives who you trust, why are they being made a target?
Well, they march to the beat of their own drum. They're not government neocons, are not globalists. They actually believe in freedom and liberty. That's not what they're supposed to believe in. I mean, you look at what happened with this debt ceiling plan. It's a huge blow to the Tea Party. I mean, Ted Cruz tried to do a filibuster. He was denied the opportunity to do a filibuster. And isn't it ironic that this happens with a snowstorm bearing down on the Capitol? They pass this bill because they got to get the hell out of Dodge. And like I said, if you look at the House version of this bill, it was a lot closer. It was 221 to 201. And I guess for once, there's the whole broken clock theory. In Kentucky, there was one guy who stood out who really, really, we know him as Porky Pig here, and that's Hal Rogers down in southeastern Kentucky. He's the king of pork. And it shouldn't be a surprise that he was the member of Kentucky who was among the Republicans in the House going for this. I'm trying to find the list, but there's about 20 or 21 Republicans that caused the thing to get out of the House. We know it couldn't pass the Senate. It didn't pass the House, and it only passed the House by 221 to 201. So that means if 10 votes had gone the other way, it wouldn't have passed, Paul.
Well, I think it also, the fact that these ones that you trust have been targeted, and the fact that the Tea Party has also been targeted, I know that the members of your radio audience probably know this already, but for those who are maybe listening for the first time, these folks aren't being targeted because they're not being effective. These folks are not being targeted because their cause is not being effective. These folks and the causes that are being targeted are targeted explicitly because they pose a grave threat to the ruling elite, to the you call them neocons. Same difference. They're a grave threat, and they've got to Just like any other tin-horn dictator that our news media makes into a devil, just like any other tin-horn dictator, our government has got to try to quash these people before they become too influential. They're allowed a little bit of influence, but we don't want to get them too influential.
Well, the debt limit bill, it's not even a gray area, Paul. It's pretty clear that you keep kicking the can down the road, and Ed have talked about this for a long time on this show. You keep kicking the can down the road, and you never do anything but kick the can. 28 out of 232 House Republicans. Let's give the others a break for having a spine this one day. They found their spine on Wednesday, the February 12th. But 28 House Republicans out of 232 voting for the debt limit bill, the clean debt limit bill. And like I said, out of those 28, if just 10 had not, if only 18 Republicans had voted for it, It wouldn't have passed. But look who they are. Look at the allies. Look at the comrades, if you will. The GOP yes votes were, of course, Boehner, John Boehner himself, House Speaker, the orange man, who literally lives in an apartment owned by a tanning booth lobbyist. You can look that up. It's not a joke. Eric Cantor, or Cantor, as I call him, the majority leader, Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy.
Both of those guys did that. God,
yes.
They were being touted as being the savior of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It gets worse.
Oh, my God.
Cronies,
what hypocrites.
Yeah, all their cronies went with them, and Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy. Now, I remember Kevin McCarthy when he was chairman of the National Young Republicans. He was a neocon in training from way back. But don't worry, Paul Ryan voted no, so that should make you feel better. I guess he was told that it would help his political career after it was said and done if he voted no. But 28 Republicans voted for this thing, and if only 18 had voted for it, it wouldn't have passed. So, again, people think that all you have to do is elect Republicans. What does this tell you if these are the Republicans you're electing? It tells you they're nothing but the uniparty, like we've been saying on these airwaves for a long time, Paul.
I think that most of the current crop of Republicans, you could probably refer to them as Democrat light and be accurate. Okay,
yeah.
Democrats light.
Well, Hal Rogers, again, Hal Rogers voted along with John Yarmuth for the debt ceiling increase. I guess today, as I knew Massey would vote the right way, but I guess today and today only, like a bad sale at Kroger on spoiled meat, I guess today and today only that Brett Guthrie and Ed Whitfield and I can't even remember the other one, Candy Barr, as I call him. I guess today those three decided they'd vote with the Constitution. But the fact that if 10 of those Republicans hadn't voted for it, they wouldn't have passed. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes. The uniparty system. Limits my choices, doesn't it?
No, it's all the uniparty, and I tell you what, just to tease, we wanted to have our guest on tonight, Paul, and he was having phone problems too. Our guest was supposed to have been our good friend Michael Lewis of Independent Kentucky, and he's fought against the uniparties, and we try to focus the people here who are in the fight against the uniparty. Some of us fight it from within, like myself, and I guess Ed Martin's back in the Republican Party now, so I guess we could say we fight it from within. And then we got a lot of friends who fight it from without. Our good friend Ken Moman, who hosts Liberty Unbridled on Sunday nights. And our good friend, like I said, Michael Lewis, who will have to get rescheduled on the show. And then tomorrow night, one of your favorites is going to be on with me, Paul. And that's our good friend Frank Harris, who's in the Libertarian Party. He's in charge of actually putting together the Libertarian Party of Kentucky's platform. And he's going to be on with me tomorrow night.
Frank's a good listen to, and he's knowledgeable and he's a very entertaining. He's a good guest.
We were glad to get him back on. Like I said, we try to spread the wealth. We fight the system from without and from within, and we got all these elections coming up. And I guess that's the beauty of the bully pulpit of being on these airwaves. Like I said, we got a lot of elections coming up, and some of these fights, don't get me wrong, folks, are going to be within the party. When you have Mitch McConnell doing this right before his primary, so. You tell me, Paul, the fact that Mitch McConnell provided a key vote on a debt increase, is he doing this as a way of kind of flipping off the Tea Party because he's certain in his arrogance and assurance that he's going to get reelected, or is he writing off his own reelection?
Well, I think he ought to contact his good buddy Dick Lugar over in Indiana and ask Dick Lugar that question because Lugar got knocked off, and he was an entrenched neocon. And he got knocked off in the primary by a pretty good opponent
Richard Murdoch.
Because he felt he was invincible. Now, I don't want to equate Matt Bevin's chances against Mitch McConnell as equivalent to Richard Murdoch's race against Dick Lugar because I don't think there's a comparison. I think Bevin is a decided underdog, and I don't know that Bevin can do anything to achieve the results that Murdoch did. But I'm more interested in seeing what happens in the fall with the Democrat candidate, Grimes. Right now, the polling suggests that she's up by approximately 4 points, which is within the statistical margin of error for those types of polls. And if I were in McConnell's camp, I'd really be worried about that because it seems like McConnell is actually doing things to play into her hands. I mean, it's astonishing that he's sitting there with supposedly the smartest Republicans in this country formulating strategies and platform, and yet he's beginning to slip behind a upstart challenger who has less on the ball than he does.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus. What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
But these are supposed to be the smartest Republicans in the United States. And if they're not, if it's not a question of intelligence, then it is a question of evil, an evil plan to make sure that we stay subjugated. Okay?
Well, that's
they don't
why
care
I always
who.
Look at primaries.
They don't care.
Primaries to me are the most important time, Paul. You know when you're dealing with neocon establishment hacks, because they don't like primaries. They want it truly to be all settled in a back room somewhere. And I've heard the argument made that since they're going to do what they want to do, let them make their deals in the back rooms. But that's kind of going back the way they want it. And I hear a lot of people who will criticize Matt Bevin, and they get mad at him, and they trump out the false charges about him and bailout. And it's just not true. And again, it's really easy for people like McConnell, who are entrenched in government for 30 freaking years, to all of a sudden start fudging facts and attacks on Bevin. I mean, they come up with this crap that tries to mislead people. They put out a TV ad saying that Bevin was a tax delinquent and he had his business and vacation home that was delinquent in taxes. But the truth is, we find out that Bevin was resolving the company's tax problems after he took control of it. These issues were before he took over the business. And then we hear about McConnell's campaign calling him bailout Bevin. And I said I was going to address this issue tonight, Paul, because that's a bunch of garbage. It's a moniker that refers to his company accepting state grants. There's a big freaking difference in receiving state grants after a company is destroyed by a fire and at the urging of town and state officials who wanted to preserve jobs and a local historic treasure. QC runs that bell-making company. So it just shows you how entrenched the people will go to what extremes when you're in government because they have nothing else to put out. So they will always tell you, oh, look at Matt Bevin. They'll lie and say he's bailout Bevin, and they'll make up garbage that isn't true about him being a recipient of bailouts because they have nothing on which to stand themselves. So McConnell, we know he's the sludge machine. We know he's all about the big money that he takes in from who? The banksters. Look at who funds him. Look at the Fannie Mae's. Look at the Freddie Mac's. Look at all the people who fund him, the globalists, the big dollar banks. They're behind him. So I guess raising the ceiling of the debt benefits the bankster, so I guess he did what his owners wanted him to do.
How many payrolls has Connell had to make? Matt Bevin. None. How many companies has Mitch McConnell been the CEO of and had tried to deal with all of the,
He's never worked anywhere but in government, Paul. That's correct. I mean, the guy started out, He did the normal thing, went straight from college to law school. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Went straight to law school, right out of law. I mean, you know, he wants you to think he's this big Louisvillian, true and true and through and through, and he didn't even move to Louisville until he was in high school with his family from Alabama. He's an Alabaman. He's not a Kentuckian. And then he goes into U.S. Army Reserves. We won't talk about what the real reasons were for him to get an early discharge. We won't say anything about the sexual rumors about what got him out of the military. We won't mention those. We'll just leave that out. But then he went in and was an intern for Senator John Sherman Cooper. Then he was an assistant to Senator Marlo Cook. Then he was a deputy assistant ag under Gerald Ford. Then he was Jefferson County Judge Executive. Then it was off to the U.S. Senate. Have you ever seen somebody who was the stepford wife of politicians other than Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr.?
He's following the same kind of path that his good friend Harry Reid followed, and also a guy that's in charge of the country at the moment, Mr. President Mulatto, I like to call him.
You did call that term, Obama. I like that.
President
Mulatto.
Again, these we've got people in charge of a capitalist economy, and they have no experience. None. None.
Nope.
They don't know how to make a payroll. They don't know how to make a profit. All they know how to do is issue orders and directives and take stuff away from other people that doesn't belong to them. In any other world, they would be the criminal and they would be going to jail. But because they're in the official district of corruption, they get away with it.
That's a good finishing touch on the show tonight, Paul. We appreciate it. As always, the show flies by. You have been listening to the Ed Springsteen Show on the Value Matters Radio Network. I am your host tonight, guest host Dale the Truth, keeping the chair warm for Ed. I'm sure that Ed will be back in the chair next Wednesday night. We will be back tomorrow night. We'll be back on Thursday night because it is TNT Radio time tomorrow night, Thursday Night Truth. We will be back here with two guests. If the phone ghosts and goblins and gremlins don't keep them away, we'll be back with two guests because in the first half of the hour, we're going to talk about the Libertarian Party, which is the largest party, not part of the Uniparty. We'll be talking about the Libertarian Party in Kentucky. We'll be talking about the involvement in the state convention for people who are libertarians in the state. And in the second half of the show, provided we don't get knocked off the airwaves and we're not taken down in a Ed Snowden-like raid, the second part of the show, we'll be talking about the Illuminati, the globalists, and their occultic fascination. So again, we actually come back here tomorrow night for the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network.
That have molded our minds, pushing an agenda filled.